turn back to 1 John, to chapter 4, and lift out one or two verses for us to hear and to meditate and contemplate today. John writes, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. In this, John wrote, is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us. Would you pray? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us today in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Most of you know that I like old movies. I like movies from the 40s, from the 50s, from the 30s, even movies from the 20s. I like movies that have old actors in them. I love those old black and white movies. They are a rare breed. Sometimes movies these days are filled with violence and sex and gore. I just saw the movie Gladiator the other day. I don't want to tell you, that was a very violent film. But I saw another movie recently, a movie that I love, a movie that I remembered seeing many times in the past. It's a movie that some of you may have seen. It's entitled On Borrowed Time, starring Sir Cedric Hardwick, is that correct? And Lionel Barrymore. Who here has seen that movie? Oh, just a couple, just a few. On Borrowed Time. It's a movie about an old man and his wife. And the death of their son and his wife. His son was out on a road trip. His son was a doctor, and they were going around a curve, and they crashed and were killed. And the only people who were left alive from that were, of course, their parents and their son. And so the little boy, who can't be much more than 6 or 7, goes to live with his grandmother and his grandfather, who are themselves in their 80s. It was a very difficult situation, and there was an aunt who wanted to get this young boy away from the parents, because she wanted the money that her sister and their son had put together. Back in the 1930s, $75,000 was an awful lot of money, and that's what they had. Well, this young boy, all he had was his granddad and his grandma, and he loved them dearly. Well, his grandmother died. And about this time, we start learning in the story that when people die, Mr. Death comes to be with them. And Mr. Death is described as being this British gentleman, played by Sir Cedric, who comes to you, and he's not frightening, and he's not somebody to be afraid of. He comes to you in your last moments to relieve you from the fears of death, to relieve you from the frightening moment of death, to take your hand and walk with you into glory. What a wonderful image, this Mr. Death, who we always normally think of as a frightening person. And yet in this movie, at least initially, he's not a frightening person, but unfortunately, he's come to get first the grandmother, and he takes her to heaven. And then he comes to get the grandfather, who's having heart trouble. And if he takes the grandfather, the young boy would suddenly be left all alone And the aunt who wants the money and doesn't care about the boy would snatch the boy up and become the guardian and send the boy off to boarding school. And the old grandfather is so upset. He doesn't want this mean old aunt to get her hands on the boy. And so when death comes to get him, he says, "Look, I'll go with you, but first go up in that tree and get me an apple." And so old Mr. Death, Sir Cedric, climbs up into the tree. And the old man, Lionel Barrymore, says, "All right, now you're in that tree. Now you're going to have to stay there." And he keeps Death up in that tree. And Death can't come down. And Death can't go and take other people to heaven. And Death is not around anymore. And no one dies for many days in their town. And indeed, all over the world. And doctors begin to wonder what's going on. And other doctors have examined Lionel Barrymore, and some think he's crazy. And another doctor has tested his claims and discovered that he can't get anything to die, not even a flea. He can't kill a flea. He can't kill a human being. Except if he has them touch the tree in which Mr. Death is hiding. Well, Mr. Death keeps on trying to get Lionel Barrymore to let him out of the tree. And Lionel Barrymore won't do it because he knows that if he does, he will die and the boy will have to go off into an awful existence with his aunt. He doesn't want to die either. He wants to keep living. He's enjoyed life. He doesn't want yet to die. Well, finally, one day, the boy is climbing on the fence that Lionel Barrymore has made around the tree. And Mr. Death convinces the boy to climb up real high and to walk along the top. And the boy slips and falls and breaks his neck and is in great pain and would have died had Mr. Death been free to come to him and relieve his pain. But he can't because Mr. Death is in the tree. And so Lionel Barrymore takes the boy in his arms and goes out to the tree and says, "Mr. Death, if I let you down, I will die, won't I?" "Yes," Mr. Death says, "you'll die. But my grand boy, he will be out of pain too, won't he?" "Yes, I'll take him as well, to a place where there is no pain or fear." And so, even though he knew that he had death cornered and no one ever need die again, and he never need die, he gave up his life and opened the gate and let Mr. Death come out of the tree. And the two of them went into heaven. It's a wonderful little story. I recommend you rent the movie, except now I've given it all away. It's a wonderful little story about the selfless gift of love. This grandfather, played by Lionel Barrymore, had for his grandson a gift of love that gave all of himself. He was willing to go on living as an old, old man so that his grandson could be with him. He was willing to give up the release, the blessed peace that death would be for him, to let his grandson keep living. And of course, he wanted to keep living himself. But when his grandson was so sick that he needed to go on to heaven, he gave up his life so that his grandson would be out of pain. The love of a father for a son or a mother for a son or daughter, the love of a grandparent for a grandchild is incredible. But it's nothing, my friends, compared to the love of God. Last week, I read from that wonderful hymn, a hymn that I also heard Vanda playing this morning. Thank you, Vanda. The love of God and that wonderful line. But I didn't read one of the other lines that goes, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." God's love is beyond our comprehension. God's love is beyond our ability to understand or even to communicate. Now, we try to understand it, and we try to communicate it through words and through actions, through deeds, but we fail because we are simple, failing human beings. Language is an interesting thing. Some languages have a lot of words that have a lot of ability to say a lot of different things, and other languages have a smaller number of words. For example, in English we have one word for snow. It's snow. But the Eskimo languages, in the many different Eskimo languages, there are hundreds of words for snow. We have to say light snow, heavy snow, dry snow, wet snow, light snow, high snow, thin snow, blowing snow, snow that's good to make snowmen with, and snow that's good to make snowballs with, and snow that blows away off the streets and you don't have to worry about. The Eskimos have words for each one of those kinds of snow, whereas we have to add other words to communicate the idea. Likewise, English has a word for love. And I can say, I love my mother, and I mean one thing, but I love pizza, I mean something completely different. I don't mean the same thing when I say, I love my cat, as I mean when I say, I love my mother. I don't mean the same thing when I say, I love ice cream, as when I say, I love America. I don't mean the same thing when I say, I love riding in a boat going fast, and I love you. We have different meanings, different shades of meaning in one word, love. Greek, the language that the New Testament was written in, had many different words and had three different words for the concept of love. They had an understanding of it called eros, physical love, the love that was physical between a man and a woman. They had phileo love, the kind of love that you would have with a brother or a sister or a dear, dear, dear friend. Phileo love, the kind of love that you have between brothers and sisters. In fact, we have a city, Philadelphia, which means the city of brotherly love. But there was an ultimate form of love in the Greek language called agape, or in the verb form, agapao love. And agape love is the kind of love that is without boundaries or strings. It's the kind of love that simply gives. It's the divine love. Phileo and eros requires reciprocity, requires a response, requires two parties to be reacting to each other. Agape love comes directly from God, requires nothing in return. It simply gives. And it is the love of God. In the Gospel of John, John depicts Peter and Jesus having a conversation after Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these? Then feed my sheep." And Peter's response is, "Lord, you know I love you." Now in English it gets all muddied because Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "You know I love you." And Jesus asks him again, "Do you love me?" And he says, "You know I love you." And a third time, "Do you love me?" And yes, you know I love you. What you don't know is that in the Greek, the first two times when Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" the words that Jesus used is agape, agapao, the highest form of love. Do you love me? No strings attached. And Peter's response was with the phileo word of love, not agape, but phileo, which you might translate as like. Jesus saying, "Do you love me?" And Peter's response, "You know I like you." "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, you know I like you. I love you with the phileo love, the brotherly love, not agape love." So Jesus stepped down to where Peter was. And the third time he asks him in the gospel, "Do you love me?" He's using the phileo form of the word. Do you like me? Do you love me as a brother? Not the agape love, but the brotherly love. Do you love me? And Peter's response is, "You know I love you." Again, phileo. Jesus was willing to step down to where Peter was. That's good news for you and me. We're not left trying to attain to something that we can't attain to. God comes to where we are and expresses his love as we can receive it. And then he takes us and lifts us up. In the passage from 1 John today, we have a collection of words about the love of God. And each one of these words is a word that describes and communicates God's agape love, God's unmerited, unearned, no strings attached love. The love of God which is given to us all and to which we are called to respond. And I think it's interesting to know that in this lesson, he says, love is this. Not that we love God, which is where our focus usually is, I'm afraid, in the fact that we are called to love God and others. No, love is in this, that God loved us and gave his son for us. That's the heart of the gospel. These last several weeks I've been dealing, since Easter Sunday, I've been dealing with the heart of the gospel, with the core of the Christian message, with the core of the good news about the love of God and the calling that we had to live within the love of God. And here we have it brought together in 1 John. Love is this. God is love, and love is this. Not that we love God, although we are called to, but that God loved us and gave his son for us. I mean, it may sound really big that a granddad would give up his life that his grandson might be relieved of suffering. I can tell you stories about parents who've given up their lives so that their children might live. That's nothing, my friends, although it's an image, it's a reflection, it's an echo of God's love. It's a self-giving, selfless love that gives of the self for the good of the other. God gave his son to die on the cross for you and me. And that love is a love we can rest in. And that love will transform us if we will only let it. Grab a hold of the love of God today. Accept the love of God, that God loves you. Wherever you are, whatever you may have done, there is nothing that you can do that would cause God not to love you. Except grab onto the love of God. He is offering it to you today. Receive it. And in response, love God and love others. But accept that no strings attached. Love of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.